اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان، اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان.
اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. نزل سائر الصلوات. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجهم. First and foremost, I would like to say salam to the brothers and the sisters that are here with us tonight. And I'd like to say that it's my pleasure to be with you. And hopefully during these nights, we'll be able to discuss some of the topics that are important for us to learn about and to explore when it comes to our religion, inshallah. Tonight is the night before the month actually starts, the month of Ramadan actually starts. It's good that before we enter the month itself, we understand the importance of the month. Simply because without understanding the importance of the month, we won't really be able to make the best use of the month. We won't be able to take advantage of this opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us with every year. Another point that we need to pay attention to before we actually get into the importance of this month and the attributes of this month is that we really need to understand that one of the things that we take as a pre-assumption is that this blessing, this opportunity is going to be granted to us every year. It's something that's going to happen every year. Every year, the 29th of Sha'ban is going to come. Especially for those of us who are younger, this is the way we were probably thinking. That, you know, every year the 29th of Sha'ban is going to come, and I'm going to welcome the month of Ramadan. I'm going to have this chance, this opportunity of these 30 days to work on myself, these 30 days to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give me this opportunity every single year. That's the way we think. And that's the way as human beings we're created, so to speak, to think. Because we get used to the routine, right? If I were to ask any of the brothers here, that including myself, if they thought that they would have this opportunity next year, every single one of us would probably, you know, theoretically speaking, we would say, no, we never know, because we may not be alive next year, right? That's quote-unquote the answer that most of us would give, or probably all of us would give. But deep down, what we're thinking is that, no, it's going to happen again. We're going to have this opportunity again. So the point I'm trying to make here is that this opportunity is not necessarily something that's going to come around again. And if we don't look at it this way, then we're not going to make use of it. Okay? There has to be a sense of urgency. Okay? For us to understand the importance of this month, to understand the importance of every single day of this month. Or else, of course, if I know that if I'm a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old, I have 20, 10, 15, 20 years, 30 years left in my life, I have 30 months of Ramadan to come. I can become a better person in the next 30 months. Why do I need to push myself right now, right? I have time. There's no need to rush it. Yes, I'll do a little bit this month, but then I'll do a little bit another month. That's nice. I hope it was like that for us, but unfortunately, it's not like that. You know, it's none of us know whether it's going to be like that. So before we get down to the importance of this month, we need to understand that this is not necessarily an opportunity that we're going to get every year. Okay, we say this, the same thing comes about when we talk about Muharram. Muharram is once again one of those months, especially the first 10 nights or the first 15 nights, that all of us know that by doing the mornings for our imam, we're going to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we're thinking once again is that we're going to have that opportunity every year, right? I know I have to work on myself and come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through becoming more like Imam Hussein and his followers. But what we're thinking is that we have that chance every year. Especially for the youth, that's what we're thinking. Okay? So the first point that we need to make and we need to understand for ourselves is that this isn't going to be necessarily an opportunity that we're going to have every single year, right? None of us know if we're going to be alive for tomorrow, let alone for next year. Okay? كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِغَةُ الْمَوْتِ as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. Every human being will taste death. We understand that, right? And if you ask any of us, all of us will say, yeah, there will come a day where I will have to leave this world. What we don't understand and what we do not acknowledge is that that day can be any day. It can be any day. No one's guaranteeing that it's going to be 50-year-old, 60-year-old, 70-year-old, 80-year-old, 9. You don't know when it's going to come. And in some ways, that is the beauty of our religion. That because you don't know when it's going to come, you have to start working on yourself from today, not from tomorrow. So I just wanted to make that point, that we really don't know if this opportunity is going to be there for us the next time we gather here like this, okay? The second point is about welcoming the month of Ramadan and understanding what kind of a month we're dealing with here. Is a famous khutbah from the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please recite a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. This is a khutbah, it's a speech, so to speak, that the Prophet would deliver on the 29th of Sha'ban during his time. So it's a very similar situation, just like us, like we gather for the 29th of Sha'ban. The Prophet, he would gather the people and he would deliver a khutbah, or a speech as they say. And it's a very lengthy khutbah, actually, about this month and the different things that people can do during this month. The Prophet even gets down to some of the events that will take place in this month. And it's very nice how the Prophet takes the acts that we can do, the good deeds that we can do in this month, and relates them to the events that are going to take place in this month, referring to the martyrdom of Imam Ali, salawatullah alayh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Please recite another salawat. So, we're going to go through this khutbah, of course, certain phrases of it, to see what was on the Prophet's mind when this month, when people and himself were approaching this month. We can sit here and talk about the importance of this month all we want, but it's very different when you let the Prophet speak for you, when you let the Prophet point out what's important about this month and what deeds we should be doing in this month. So we're going to let the Prophet, we're going to sit here and listen to the Prophet tell us what it is that's important about this month. The hadith says, and this is a hadith from our first Imam, Imam Ali salawatullah alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Wa ala Muhammad. He says that khatabana Rasulullah dhat yawm. The Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he addressed us one day. فَقَالَ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ O people, إِنَّهُ قَدْ أَقْبَلَ إِلَيْكُمْ شَهْرُ اللَّهِ بِالْبَرَكَةِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ وَالرَّحْمَةِ The month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming. It's approaching you. And it's not just coming like any other month. No, it's coming with its blessings, it's coming with its forgiveness, and it's coming with its mercy. And the Prophet explains what exactly he means by this mercy, by this forgiveness, you know, by this, by the blessings of this month. هُوَ إِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَفْضَلُ الشُّهُورِ This month is the best of months in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَيَّامُهُ أَفْضَلُ الْأَيَّامِ وَلَيَالِيهِ أَفْضَلُ الْلَيَالِي وَسَاعَتُهُ أَفْضَلُ السَّاعَاتِ. Says that the days are the best days. The days of this month are the best days. And the nights of this month are the best nights of the year. And the hours and the moments of this month are the best of the year. دُعِيتُمْ فِيهِ إِلَىٰ ضِيَافَةِ اللَّهِ. You have been invited for Allah to treat you during this month. وَجُعَلْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكَرَامَةِ. And you have been honored. You have been placed amongst those who are honored by being a part of this month. أَنْفَاسُكُمْ فِيهِ تَسْبِيحٍ. The fact that you breathe in this month, that itself is a means of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very interesting. Now, when we speak of the month of Ramadan, this becomes very clear to us, but it also applies to our everyday life. It also applies to the other months. That if anyone takes a quick look at our traditions and the Quran, you find that in the system of Islamic teachings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is literally looking for an excuse to get me and you to go to heaven. He's literally looking for an excuse to do that. This becomes a lot more clear to us when we take a look at the traditions that we have pertaining to the month of Ramadan, right? Like this tradition that says, أَنْفَاسُكُمْ فِيهِ تَسْبِيحٍ. The fact that you breathe, that's being written down as a means of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very clear when it comes to this. But even when it comes to general acts and good deeds that we have in Islam, for example, one of the good deeds that we have in Islam, there's much emphasis on it, is the mourning and the crying for our imams, for the Ahlul Bayt or for the Prophet himself. Once again, when you take a look at these traditions, you find that these traditions, and there's a number of them, it's not just one of them, there's a number of them that point out that one who cries for our imams and one who mourns for our imams, his sins will be forgiven. Of course, up to that point is what is meant in the tradition. So you find that there are small deeds that have great impacts in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنْفَاسُكُمْ فِيهِ تَسْبِيحٍ. He's literally trying to get us there. He's literally trying to get us to go to heaven. وَنَوْمُكُمْ فِيهِ عَبَادَةً. And sleeping, stuff that is not even, we don't even do it with our own will. No one breathes here by thinking that they're going to breathe, right? If I were to ask you, are you breathing right now? It would take you a couple seconds to actually understand what my question is, right? This is stuff we don't even do intentionally, so to speak. He says that you do that, I'll take you to heaven. وَنَوْمُكُمْ فِيهِ عِبَادَةً وَعَمَلُكُمْ فِيهِ مَقْبُولٌ. What you do in it will be accepted. The good deeds that you do in it will be accepted. وَدُعَاؤُكُمْ فِيهِ مُسْتَجَابٌ. فَاسْأَلُوا رَبَّكُمْ بِنِيَّاتٍ صَادِقًا. Now, the fact that this month has so many blessings that when you breathe and when you sleep, it's a means of worship, the Prophet doesn't stop at that point. He says, now that that's the case, don't sit there and say, okay, I'm going to take benefit of the bare minimum. I'm just going to sleep. I'm just going to breathe. We don't want to do that. The Prophet says, take a step forward. فَاسْأَلُوا رَبَّكُمْ بِنِيَّاتٍ صَادِقَةً. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with true intentions, with sincere intentions, وَقُلُوبٍ طَاهِرَةً, and pure hearts. Ask Him for what? أَنْ يُوَفِّقَكُمْ لِسِيَامِهِ وَتِلَاوَةِ كِتَابِهِ. Now that this month has so many blessings, don't just sit there and say, I'm going to breathe, I'm going to sleep. No, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives you the chance to read His book. And reading the Quran is just one of those, it's just one of those topics that when we talk about it, personally, when I look at our you know, the Muslims around, well, Shias. When I look at Shias, it's one of those things that I think as a whole we're sort of ashamed of. Because when it comes to the attention that we give to the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are far behind. We are way behind. And this month is a month that, you know, it's a chance for us to make up for that. Now, the point I was going to mention here is that you see that when the Prophet mentions that your sleep, that your breath is a means of worshiping him, he does not stop there. We need to understand that as Muslims, we are not living this life that we're living just to get away from hell, fire. That's how most Muslims, unfortunately, live their lives. Okay, we live our lives simply not to go to hell. And that's why we stick to the bare minimum. Okay, now don't get me wrong. Staying away from hellfire, that is something that is extremely important. Okay, this notion of, let's not think about hellfire, that's not a good thing. No, it's a good thing. That's what pushes you and I. Okay, it pushes you and I to stay away from some of the stuff that we do. Like when you take a look at the verses of the Quran, they're very explicit in explaining how the punishments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for those who commit sins. Right? No one can deny that. Take a look at the Quran. The Quran, for example, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, it explains in detail what happens to those who are in hellfire, or many other verses of the Quran. Or one verse of the Quran, for example, this is one of those verses that I constantly remember when I think of the punishments on the Day of Judgment. It says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, ya ayyuhan nas ittaqu rabbakum." It's the first verse of Surah Al-Anbiya, if I'm not mistaken. Ya ayyuhan nas ittaqu rabbakum. Why? Be fearful, all people, be fearful of your God, of your nurturer. Why? Inna zalzalata sa'ati shay'un 'azim. The earthquake that is going to come on the day of judgment, it's 'azim. 'Azim means what? What does 'azim mean? It means it's big. It's huge, as we say, right? But there's a huge difference when we call something 'azim and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it 'azim, right? When it's like a father and a child. A child will call something 'azim, right? A child will, you know, he'll see a bicycle and he'll say, "Oh, daddy, that's a really big bicycle," right? He'll call it 'azim. It's a big bicycle, right? But when the father sees a trailer, when he sees a truck, he'll call it 'azim, right? Now it's a wrong comparison when it comes to Allah, to us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I think it makes that notion a bit more clear to us that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the earthquake 'azim, that means we should be afraid. And then there's a simple description about how people will act when this earthquake is happening. Okay, it's very simple. So the verse said, "Ya ayyuhan nas ittaqu rabbakum inna zalzalata as-sa'ati shay'un 'azim." What happens? "Yawma tarawnaha tadhhalu kullu murdi'atin 'amma ardat." When people see this earthquake happening on the Day of Judgment, تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ. Every mother that is breastfeeding her child, you know that the affection between a mother and their child is far beyond any affection that we would probably have in this world, right, in our day-to-day lives. That's the number one, that's what everyone hopes that their affection is like the mother and the child, right? Says that يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا, when people see this earthquake happening, تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ, the mother who is breastfeeding her child is so shocked that she forgets about the child. And the brothers are here. As brothers, we really don't understand the feeling that a mother has towards her child. But those of the brothers who are fathers, they understand, at least to a certain degree, what kind of a bond there is. It's so shocking and it's so unbelievable to them that they forget about the child. It's no longer about the child. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. When people see this, they literally go crazy. They act, and if this wasn't what the verse was saying, I wouldn't use this language, but they act as if they are drunk. وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. سُكَارَى, مُسْكِر. مُسْكِر is what makes us drunk, what intoxicates us. Right? وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى. They act as if they are drunk, right? Have you ever seen when people, when they see something that they cannot understand, they, you know, it blows their mind, they start, some of them go crazy, right? That's what happens. The verse is saying that, وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى, you see that as if they're acting like they're drunk. That's how in shock they are. وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. But the fact is, they're not drunk. They're perceiving this event that's happening. They're perceiving this incident that's happening, and it's so great, it makes them act like that. So now going back to the point that we're mentioning, this was a short description of, for example, one of the events that takes place on the Day of Judgment for those who are sinners, the earthquake, and the description that we gave. Staying away from hellfire is important. Being afraid from hellfire and the punishments that are there on the Day of Judgment is important. And that should be there within every single one of us. Okay? But when you look at the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, although they greatly warn us of that, they always tell us that you shouldn't be stopping there. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we'll talk about this more tomorrow night, the purpose of our creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us in such a way where He said, okay, this is hellfire, has the worst punishments in it, I created you so that you can stay away from it. That's not even a wise act, right? It wouldn't even be compatible with the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To say, I created this pit hole here, right? And I created all these people, 6 billion. There's 6 billion, right? 6 billion. I created 6 billion people, and the only reason why I created them is for them to not fall in this hole. No, that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for. He created us for something greater than that. Then we'll talk about that inshallah tomorrow night. Okay? But, so getting back to the point, and I'm going to continue with the khutbah, the Prophet is trying to get us to do a little bit more, because that's why we were created. We were not created simply to stay away from hellfire. We were created to reach higher degrees of spirituality, which we will explain inshallah more tomorrow. So the khutbah goes on. It says, وَذْكُرُوا بِجُوعِكُمْ وَعَتَشِكُمْ فِيهِ جُوعَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Remember with the hunger and the thirst of this month, the hunger and the thirst that you will have on the Day of Judgment if you are amongst the sinners. وَتَصَدَّقُوا عَلَى فُقَرَائِكُمْ وَمَسَاكِينِكُمْ. This is once again one of the beauties of our religion. You see that the Prophet says that when you feel that hunger and that thirst, it should remind you of the hunger and the thirst of the Day of Judgment. And then right afterwards, it says, or the Prophet says, that you should watch after those who are poor and needy within your community. The beauty of Islam is that as Muslims, as well, let me just put it this way: the difference between us and humanitarians, right? People who are there to save people around the world, people who simply do good deeds. You know, they save whales, they raise money for the poor. The difference between them and us Muslims, what is the difference between us? Right? They have a moral system, right? They have morals and they stick to those morals and they carry out those morals, right? And as human beings who have nothing to do with revelation and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that's the furthest you can get. The furthest you can get is, I know lying is bad, so I'm not going to lie. I know helping others out is good, I'm going to do that. Which is a wonderful thing in itself. But as Muslims, what is the advantage that we have compared to them? Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated Islamic teachings and Islamic rulings in such a way where those morals are carried out, but at the same time, they're carried out in such a way where they bring spirituality for the individual who is carrying them out. The difference, let me explain the difference. The difference is, if you and I simply do good deeds without paying attention to the spirituality that it has to bring about, the difference is, I will do those good deeds with any means. Through any means. Why? Because the means aren't important to me, the ends are important to me. What's important to me is to save lives. What's important to me is to save the poor, to help the poor. Right? So I'll do that through any means. Doesn't matter where I get the money from, I'll do it through any means. Okay? But as Muslims, because we follow Islamic teachings, we don't do it through any means. Now I know it's a bit confusing. Let me just give an example, and hopefully this example will clarify this issue. For example, if I'm sitting here and I know that there are so many poor people out there in the city of Houston, right, or in America, all around the world, there are people who are in need of a plate of rice to live through this day. Okay? If I know that, there are a number of means I can use to reach my goal. My goal is to save these people. Right? One of the means is I can go and take part in the lottery and win the lottery. Right? If you win the lottery, how much do you get if you win the lottery? I don't know. How much? Millions. Millions. Right? One of the means of attaining that money and being able to give it to the poor is taking part in the lottery, right? So as a person who's following simply my moral system, simply what my mind and intellect understands, that saving the poor is a good thing to do, I'm going to go take part in the lottery. If I win, then I'm going to take that money and I'm going to use it for the poor. So, in this example, you see that this person is going to do anything to reach those ends, right? To get the money to the poor. But in Islam, you cannot do that through any means. It's a contradiction. You cannot use haram means to do good things. Okay? Why? Because those haram things in itself will ruin lives. The addiction to take part in lottery, the addiction to gamble, that's going to ruin lives too. You're trying to do a good thing, right? The good thing was what? Saving the lives of those who are poor, saving the lives of those who are hungry, for example. You're trying to do that good thing. You're trying to follow your quote-unquote moral system. And because of that, you go take part in the lottery, you are propagating and you are expanding another problem, which is what? That addiction, that itself ruins lives. So the difference, now I'm going to use this example to point out the difference that we were trying to clarify. The difference between us as Muslims and other people who are simply good people. This is a very important point, because if we don't understand it, what we'll end up doing is, in our life, is just being good people. Right? You ask any American, like, let me ask you this question. If you go out and you meet Americans around America, you will probably not come across any that will be quote-unquote bad people. They're not bad people. In fact, sometimes they're great people. Right? But that's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. He wants from us to follow His teachings. Why? Because His teachings are comprehensive. You're not going to solve one problem and create another problem. If you follow your own moral system, that's what's going to happen. You're going to solve one problem, not even completely, partially, but you're going to create another pit hole for humankind. Okay? So, as much as in Islam we have an emphasis of helping others, there's also an emphasis on the spirituality that it has to bring for ourselves. These two come together. They're not separated from each other. وَوَقِّرُوا كِبَارَكُمْ. In this month, you should respect and you should honor your older ones. And that's a tough one. It's very difficult for probably all of us. And the last phrase that I'm going to mention is وَرْحَمُوا صِغَارَكُمْ. And be merciful towards the younger ones. Unfortunately, we're out of time. I think we'll carry on with this, because there's this one point in the hadith where Imam Ali salawatullah alayhi the Imam himself gets up and asks a very important question. After the Prophet asks all these questions, he says that after the Prophet mentions all these good deeds about the month of Ramadan, Imam Ali gets up and he asks, he says, what is the one good thing that we can do in this month that is more important than anything else? And the Prophet answers his question there. So that's the part of the khutbah that we're going to get to, inshallah. That's the most important part. وَرْحَمُوا صِغَارَكُمْ is the last phrase that inshallah will explain very briefly. And that is once again one of those things that we all need to work on, to treat our younger ones with mercy. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Inshallah, we'll carry on tomorrow from this phrase. We pray that inshallah, during this month of Ramadan, we can all work on ourselves and become better people. By the rights of the Ahlul Bayt and the Prophet, we pray that inshallah, our Muslims around the world, our dear brothers and sisters around the world who are in pain, in the agony, in different Muslim countries, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees them from their pain in agony. And we pray also that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hastens the return of our 12th Imam al-Mahdi, salawatullah alayhi. This is Sayyid Salawat.